consent can happen in toilets in public. Sexual abuse is one of the, or the second highest abuse in our region. So for the entire month of June, we will be talking a lot about sexual abuse of our children. Well, let me first share with you a simple definition of what sexual abuse is. Sexual abuse is the assault or exploitation of a child. Assault or exploitation of a child. Now, a lot of people might not understand, but it goes on to say, touching a child in a sexual manner is sexual abuse. Penetrating a child's sexual organ with an object or another body part is sexual abuse. Saying inappropriate things about sex to a child is sexual abuse. Exposing the genital parts to a child is sexual abuse. Forcing a child to listen or to look at sexual programs or videos or music is a form of sexual abuse. Engaging a child in pornography, point blank sexual abuse. Making fun of a child sexually is sexual abuse. Forcing two or more children to have sex is sexual abuse. Having a child to touch your private part is also sexual abuse. So what I would like the public to understand, it's not just having sex with a child will be considered sexual abuse. Anything that you do, say, or allow a child to watch sexually is considered sexual abuse in the laws of Ghana.
So it's definitely a whole host. It's just not the sexual act. It's
correct.
Also having those pornographic stuff, having children view those stuff, putting children with children.
Yes.
Just for maybe reported.
Or just for pleasure, or just for looking sick, because at the Child Care and Protection Agency, we are guided by the Sexual Offences Act 2009 that allows us the opportunity to speak on behalf of children that are violated or assaulted in any way sexually, as a matter of fact, to all cases of abuse, as well as we work in collaboration with the Ghana Police Force to ensure that those perpetrators are prosecuted accordingly.
Now, Ms. Moore, I just want to mention this fact. Sexual abuse, I think, more so than that, still is a taboo subject to some degree, because I'm quite certain there are families who are trying to cover for family members who probably don't abuse children within the home, and they're trying to keep it within the family. Family business is family business. No one needs to know. So the issue of sexual abuse, I think, is still taboo in society, which is very unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, and we're encouraging anybody or any individual that have knowledge of a child being sexually abused to report it. Why? Because it's not just the physical aspect or damaging the child's body part is what we have to deal with. It will affect the child psychologically, it will affect the child emotionally. He or she might not be able to function in school on a daily basis or focus on things that children need to focus on. Some of them don't even play because of what they're experiencing, which is long before the time they need to experience such. And it is a detrimental effect. Some children may lead to suicide, as well as some may be a part of a whole lot of other activities. Some children become promiscuous, some children become withdrawn, quiet, reserved, unwilling to participate in anything. Children are so delicate and special that we are supposed to protect them, love them, care them, provide for them, not mistreat and ill-treat them for our own benefit.
And I so much agree with what you just stated, that children are innocent. They're innocent bystanders in our life. They didn't ask to be here, especially. And for parents, and not just parents, but extended family members, to look out for all children who have come into our lives at some point in time, protecting them with all of your might and strength. We have to try to protect our children as much as possible. And this is where adults and family members also need to be trustworthy. I'm not leaving my child with you. I mean, have the decency enough to respect me, to respect my child, to respect my child, not physical, but also their entire well-being, emotionally, psychologically. I mean, if you're an adult and you
that level, being an adult, the effects alone are tremendous. I mean, so many persons go into shock. All kinds of things happen, much less a child who doesn't even have the mental capacity to comprehend what is being happened to them, or they don't even know at that point, as much as it might happen at a point, and perpetrator might tell them, oh, you're not gonna tell mommy or it's our secret. As much as they might try to do that, the perpetrator would even threaten children, frighten them to not disclose any information, it will still affect them when they become adults, young teenagers.
Very true. Very
true. It will definitely affect them, and they will have a lash of issues. They don't even know where it's coming from. But that's where evaluation comes in, a whole lot of things need to be done to try and fix as much as can be fixed.
Well, children who are being abused, the agency, Child Protection Agency, and Blossom Inc. as well, who works in collaboration with Child Protection Agency, will assist these families in order to cope and to better get over the process, which is a long process for that to happen. So we encourage our children to speak up and speak out at all times. Speak up and speak out, because the effect of a child being abused, like you said, it goes on to your adulthood. We provide the necessary assistance for the children, but I'm advertising to our parents and our adults that would have experienced some kind of abuse, they can get the help needed, because if you're not addressing those issues that you would have experienced, it automatically becomes your life until the end. So take the opportunity to get some help, get some counseling. The probation department is also there to assist us. Blossom Inc. is assisting us. Child care is there. Despite we work hand in hand with our children to assist them to be better individuals, we assist our families as well. So if we cannot provide the services to a particular family or to any family that think they need the assistance, we can put you on to another organization that will be able to assist you in terms of dealing with whatever you would have experienced in the past, and try to move forward in the future.
So Ms. Warren, to be more precise, you're saying these are parents who probably would have been abused in their childhood, or maybe teenagers, and they would not have seek some sort of assistance, but you will be a part of the process and helping them to get back grounded, to better raise children in a better environment.
Very correct, because remember, children are not responsible for themselves. As adults, as parents, we're responsible for them. So if there are issues that we would not have dealt with in the past, we would find that we lash out on our children and they end up feeling or experiencing abuse in so many ways because of what you would have incurred as a child. And now that you're an adult, you're finding it difficult to communicate with your children, to improve your relationship with them, to help them to understand that you can speak to me. All right? So if you would have experienced such in your childhood, now that you're an adult, it becomes difficult for you as an adult to relate to your children. So at any point in time, the necessary help is there for you. You just have to reach out and grab it.
I'm happy you would have mentioned that, because Ms. Morgan, I would have attended the workshop. One of the attendants, she did ask, what about parents who would have been abused? How do they deal with that issue of raising children who probably become victims of that same cycle? How do they know how to better handle things for their children, because they weren't given the resources to handle things for themselves and to become better grounded adults, individuals, and also more responsible and grounded parents? So I'm happy to hear that as much as child care would deal with children and the abuse of children, they also will help in the process of healing adults, hurt parents who would have encountered sexual abuse in their childhood or maybe teenagers. It's all about breaking the cycle. So child care is definitely doing a great job. I mean, you're trying to get to the root
of the problem,
yes, because it's the only way. You can cut a weed
and
so the stem will still grow back.
Yeah.
But the only way you can get it out is by the root. Yes, getting to that root. I don't know, using some poison, something. I mean, we have to get those weeds out, those nuisance from our society, and this is definitely one that we need to harden for heal as much as possible. Now, Ms. Moore, I'm thinking Ms. Waring will be sharing some of this. I know you would have mentioned a few of them, but just to be precise for our listeners to know if their child at some point, you would have known your child to be outgoing, you know, bubbly, bouncy, this whole great personality. Some of the signs to look for, just to have an idea of maybe your child is being targeted in some way. Because it starts with some sort of grooming. So just to let our listeners know, what are some of the signs we should be looking for sexual abuse?
All right, we will always encourage children to speak out. If something of a sexual nature is happening to them, we encourage them to speak out. However, not all of our children would speak out. So what we as adults need to do is pay keen attention to the children. Now we would notice some signs, right? Now for children, they would stay away from certain people, you know, that would have abused them. You see, they pull away from them at any instance. They do not want to get close to them. They would not want to spend any time in their presence at all. They would do everything they possibly can to stay away from such person. They would seem frightened to that individual that would have abused them. Whenever they come in contact with a person, a sudden fear take over. You know, the child is just withdrawn, pulling a corner, as we would say, and, you know, stop responding to anyone and to anything. We also see some inappropriate behaviors coming from children once they would have been exposed to sexual activity or so. Some become promiscuous. Some get themselves involved in all kinds of sexual activities, and you even use some sexual language, right? Remember, we don't teach our children these things, but because they would have been exposed to it, you hear a couple of things coming from them, these kind of sex talks. Just listen to the children and you would hear exactly what's going on, and you can say for sure if this child is being abused and in what way. There are also some physical signs we can also observe and see if there's any vaginal discharge or so coming from the child, if there's a sexually transmitted infection or so. So these are just a couple of signs that would say to you that, you know, this child is being sexually abused.
And there are definitely signs to look for. And as you would have mentioned, some children are not so open to speaking out because I'm thinking some children are trapped by nature. And some of the perpetrators would project fear on our victims so they wouldn't speak. So, as you would have mentioned, it's our job as adults and parents to be attentive, to be observant of our children and their behavior and activities. Now, Ms. Boring, I must ask this question since you're a welfare officer. I'm thinking back in the days, you would have heard where teachers would move children. Now, is this so much happening these days? I mean, you would hear of sirs who are grooming young teenage girls, but some of them, as you would have mentioned, probably would have been abused and they've become promiscuous and being involved in sexual conversations and things like that. Is any of those happening these days?
I can only speak for Region 10 because this is where I work. So for Region 10, we have not heard of any issue or any case whereby a teacher would have groomed a child or so, but I'm not saying that it's existing or it's not existing in Linden, but we have not heard of any case of that nature. But like I said, once we pay keen attention to our children, we will be able to tell if that's happening, and we can do some investigations to find out exactly what's going on to get the necessary help.
All right, Ms. Warren, there's no cases currently that you would probably would have mentioned that you don't know. You're not saying it doesn't exist or things aren't being, you know, somewhere along the system that you're not seeing or haven't picked up as yet. But at this moment, there's no current cases, so I think our listeners should be proud.
Yes, let's hope it remains that way.
Yes, let it remain that way. But what about sexual abuse when it comes to children and children in the school system?
All right, now, like I would have mentioned sometime back when we were talking about our upbringing of children and how they would relate to their peers and so in school, we can pick up on that. And what that says to us that something is going on in the home that is not supposed to be happening. So what we would do, call in the parents and try to find out exactly what's going on and help, give the necessary help where it is needed, right? Because remember, children learn these behaviors one way or another. So find out exactly where they're learning this behavior and try to cut that out or uproot it.
Most definitely. Now, Ms. Moore, what would parents or some parents or parents and adults were being negligent. Was born would have mentioned having these sort of conversations around children. Back in the day, we couldn't be in the room with parents when auntie was around the thumb or neighbors were around the thumb. We had to leave. That was our utmost respect, and I think that's one of the things we have definitely fallen back on, because we're having children engaging in adult conversation, which is very unhealthy, and it creates room for disrespect when it comes to parents and children and adults also. So what is the case of where parents or some parents will see it as important, they may be viewing pornographic movies and children will be right there, or they might be having, you know, sexual and lewd conversations around children. What do you see to those adults and parents?
Well, those aspects, having your children to look at pornography, having sexual conversations with them, is a form of abuse. Parents, you have to be guarded and be guided as well. Now, we're not saying do not talk to your children about sex and so forth. It's important that you talk to them about these topics. It's important for their development. Like Ms. Gorham would have mentioned, observation is one of the things that is really necessary in being a parent, and that could only be possible if you spend time with your children. You need to spend time with your children as a parent. And while we don't encourage those behavior from the child protection point of view, It may expose your children to a whole lot of stuff that they are not ready for as yet. And as a result, we have the trickling effect that will later they become parents, they end up engaging the children in the same manner, or the children might be exposed to foreign abuse. So for parents, do not engage in adult conversation with your children present. We encourage them to deter from that as much as possible. And don't assume that the child is sleeping when you're having your fun time, so to speak, or you want to watch pornographies on the television if you're engaging in that. Ensure that, this is recommended, that when you want to be a part of those activities, you get a babysitter, grandmother, aunt or uncle that the children can be with for a night, so you can have some time with your husband or your gentleman, so to speak. Don't let them be around, because the walls have ears and sounds do penetrate. So we have to be more protective in what we expose our children to, because it may come back to haunt us in the long run.
Most definitely, because what we hear and see definitely is something that tattoos our mind and our brain and memory. So we need to be careful when it comes to children. They're not so forgetful as we might think and assume they are. They're very, very beautiful creatures. They do remember a lot. Some of the things you might have found them something last week, they that haven't forgotten about you, they will definitely remind you. Now, Ms. Boring, I must ask this question. When it comes to our teenagers, you know, some teenagers would probably have grown up in some really secure homes with some very diligent and protective parents, but the problem with some teenagers is bad company. And what advice would you give to our teenage girls, especially those who are going to school still? And I mean, as my mom would have always mentioned to me, public education is first. Put your books first when you finish school, anything after. And I definitely stopped at that grade. I'm happy that I did, and she always banged that in my head. So I must say, especially good afternoon to my mom. She did a tremendous job with all of her children. I love you very much. But on that note, I must say, what advice would you give to teenagers? Because some of them, they're at a stage of puberty, and some of us become very curious about a lot of things. And instead of asking an adult, especially our parents, we will more seek information from our friends, and those information might not be so liable and true. So they're just going to appearance also from probably other friends and adults. So what advice would you give to teenagers to protect themselves from sexual abuse? Because there would be sometimes they're in school, boys are seeing them, liking them, all the boys, but they're opening themselves to a possibility of being sexually abused. Maybe they go sports, they go somewhere else. What advice do you give to children, to teenage girls in particular, to protect themselves from sexual abuse?
All right. For teenage girls, this is a critical topic because, as we know, our children go out there into society and they mix with all kind of persons. Imagine a parent, you know, instilling good values and so forth in the children, teaching them the right way, so to speak. And when they go to school, they are being segregated from everybody else because they are different from the other. So they would try to do a couple of things to fit in, right? We would advise against that fitting in because oftentimes our girls, especially both girls and boys, but especially girls, actually feel the brunt of it after. So what we would do is encourage them to ask questions, no matter how shameful it might be. Talk to your parents about it, because it's always good for them to seek advice before they actually go and do something or try something that they were encouraged to do. Always try to talk to somebody, get their opinion first. And I know as you're going to school, you're being educated and so on, you're being taught to think critically, right? If I do this, try to question yourselves. If I do this, what could be the possible outcome? I might get pregnant. If I engage in sexual activity, I may end up with some form of sexually transmitted infection, as opposed to me not abstaining. As opposed to me abstaining, I'm going to be free from pregnancy, free from any STDs. You know, try to evaluate it. Try to, you know, think about it critically and visualize the outcome and choose the best possible one.
If I may add, a lot of teenagers might not be having good relationships with their parents. And it comes right back to the relationship with the parent. How do we treat our children as parents? You understand? How do we treat our children as parents? Sometimes the children are so willing to speak to you and we shun them, we chase them because we're too busy or we don't have the time to listen. It's very, very important. Children, when you, let's say they come to speak to you about something that would have happened in school. And our Guyanese culture, we have this thing of saying, girl or boy, do your school work. And after your school work, we're going to talk. That is not the appropriate time for the child to talk because right now it's bothering the child. So the child needs you to listen. Now, if you continue as a parent treating your child like that, year after year after year, like it doesn't even have to be a year. One time, if you deny a child one time and listening to them, possibility exists they will come a second time. But a third time, they wouldn't come. They will find somebody else who will listen to them. So we have to take the time to spend with our children, to listen to their concerns, listen to their needs. That will motivate them as they grow into teenagehood to be willing enough to come and say, Mommy, guess what, this is happening to my body, or Daddy, guess what, a girl like me. You know, they will be more open up to having a conversation with a parent. And it all depends on how you were treating them coming up until they become that age.
And I will also advise that even if you're not having that supportive parent, that parent who would listen to you and try to explain a couple of things to you, then find somebody else that's close to you. Probably an uncle or an aunt or a pastor, somebody responsible to talk with so that they can give you the guidance and so forth that you would need.
And I'm happy with the mention establishing a great relationship with your children. So even when they come into those teenagers, it won't be so hard for them to come to you to address issues when it comes to body changes, puberty. I mean, they're not aware of what is happening, so they will definitely need those information. So you have to create that environment, that relationship with your children, so they can better be open to you and come to you about many great things. And believe me, if they come to you for those advice, I think that day will be a great day for you.
Yeah.
Because you'll definitely feel great to know, at least my child came to me. And that is what you need. That is what you want. And Ms. Paul, what would you say? I mean, back in the day, they had to say, I'm not your friend, I'm your parent. How do you see that saying? It shouldn't be adjusted in some sense of the way that I am your first friend and your parent also, not just your parent.
You can be a parent and a friend, but as a parent, you have to know where to pull your boundary line, all right? If a child is not comfortable with you, if your child is not comfortable with you, they will not relate certain things to you. But then as a parent, you have to still provide this love and care and concern, all right? That I concern about you, I worry about you, I want to know what's happening with you. You can talk to me. So a friendly approach to get the conversation going, it's a nice approach as against an arrogant approach or not wanting to listen approach. So while the statement is friend, I'm your friend or I'm your parent, you understand to differentiate between the two, I think the friendship would line more to the process, all right? Or the relationship, so to be the approach in which you deal with a child, while understanding that I'm the parent and I am the one to provide guidance for you. So check your approach, adults, parents, check your approach on how you speak to your children, how you deal with them, how comfortable you make them to say things to you, because as a social worker, you wouldn't believe some things children say to you, to me, that they would tell their parents. Because they feel more comfortable speaking to me. Why would they feel more comfortable speaking to me? Am I so friendly? Am I always smiling? You understand? But guess what? Every time they would have approached a parent to have a simple conversation, they're being rejected. So they have no problem speaking to the person who will sit and listen to them and hear what is it they have to say. And despite they might not always like the guidance, at least they hear. That's the intention.
And that is quite important, because as much as she would have mentioned that they may not like the advice, because growing up as gay, they didn't like the fact of hearing certain things, even from my mother. I mean, that's all part of growing and being a teenager, being a child. But nevertheless, you have planted the right seed in your children's mind to keep them grounded, to try and keep them safe as much as possible. And I'm happy she would have mentioned creating a great relationship. Parents do create a great relationship with their children, from as small as they might be, as they would have mentioned in earlier episode. That connection and that relationship starts within the womb. So it starts from there, start the great communication and relationship with your children, so it can definitely be open to you. And this will help to keep them away from that area of running to anyone just for them to listen. Just to listen and hear, because a listen and hear just might be a perpetrator meeting for a victim. So we definitely need to protect our children. And there's more, how can persons seek help? Maybe neighbor might have, are sensing something is happening within them at home, or they would have witnessed some form of sexual abuse, because you would have mentioned it's just not the act. How can persons seek help?
How can you help a child that has been sexually abused in any form? I recommend or I suggest to you that you make contact with the Child Protection Agency. You can also make contact with the Guyana Police Force, Region 10, the E Division, that will most likely involve child protection, and then we take the necessary process. Later down in the month, we'll share with you the actual process that a report of sexual abuse go through. But if you suspect any child being sexually abused, any abuse for that matter, you can report to the Child Protection Agency on 444-6971. The number again is 444-6971. We're located at Lot 1, Sir David Rose and Republic Avenue. That is between GCOM building and NAS building. It's a big orange building on the corner, completely opposite Bowside Gate. That you can visit us, you can make a report, and we will investigate that report for you. Any matter of sexual assault that you're sure about, you can report it to the Child Protection Agency, or you can also report it to the Guyana Police Force. There is a sexual offenses unit right here on McKenzie at the McKenzie Police Station that those officers will also investigate and involve child protection, and will take the necessary action to ensure that child is provided with the services he or she needs and the perpetrators are brought to justice as well.
All right, you would have heard it. The number to call to seek some help is 444-6971, or to head into their office, obliquely located Bowside 8. So it's definitely the friend of children on the corner. It's definitely a landmark one we cannot miss. And just before we wrap things up, Ms. Roma must ask this final question, because it would have slipped me
I want to ask, you have mentioned murderous abuse of children, but how do you tackle and what is your advice to parents where there is sexual abuse within siblings? And some parents would want to protect one. I mean, at the end of the day, they're both, let's say it's two of them, they're both my children. How do I tackle this issue of child abuse within my children?
Well, that's a difficult task for any parent to have to deal with. Their two children being engaged in such activity. And like you would have mentioned before, it comes way back from the family origin. We don't know what they would have seen or heard and decided they want to practice. But for that parent, I advise you to report it to the Child Protection Agency anyway. I mean, you might be torn apart in some aspect, but we can assist both children. Because at the end of the day, they are children and they will grow up to become adults. And we don't want them to be perpetrators later down where the police will have to take eradicate action against them. So let's get them the assistance, the help that they need now before it gets worse later.
Well, definitely, and I do agree with you. And Ms. Gordon, is there any final remarks you'd like to give us before we wrap up?
Just that we need to protect our children. Our children are our future. I know as adults we would want some form of gratification and so forth, but we cannot find gratification with our children. It's important that we allow them to play, to enjoy their livelihood now so that they can become good, grounded, formed individuals who would make our future brighter. Right, so.
And remember, children, speak up, speak out. Adults, Speak up, not for yourself, but for your children as well. You're representing them. You are your children's advocates, and you should be willing and able to protect them, care them, love them, provide for them, and give them all the necessities that they need to grow. In other words, keep loving your children and guiding them in the right direction.
Wonderfully articulated by two gorgeous, hardworking, and mostly passionate women for our children. So I want to thank you very much for stopping on our show. It's another pleasure once again. I am so happy and amazed and proud every time I see your faces coming to this.